Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I am so delighted to be here on this Tuesday evening with you. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening. Oh, it's been a beautiful day today here in Michigan. I felt like I was in Florida.
Oh, really? Well, you know, Michigan weather is normally like New York weather, so if you said it's a beautiful day there, then it must be phenomenal weather. But the last few days we had rain, which we definitely needed. We've had brush fires all across the state of Florida. Matter of fact, the governor issued a state of emergency because we're on fire down here. But thanks be to God that we got a little bit of rain here. And I'm so glad it's out because those of you that know that I've gotten married in the last few months and my husband is a forest ranger, which is a fireman, basically, and that's what he does. He fights those brush fires. So I've been on pins and needles almost every day. I saw him. He came home yesterday, so I hadn't seen him for 5 days because he was out there. So it was a little bit uncomfortable and stressful, worried about them and not being able to have contact, you know, on normal, like I do on a normal basis. But we need the rain. We need the rain. You know, when it was raining yesterday, I was thinking, I was like, wow. There was a time I used to say, ah, dang, it's raining. But now I'm like, rain, 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 because my man is out there.
Yeah.
So it's a difference. It's a difference now. But tonight we're talking about being resilient. And I thought about how my husband's out there fighting fires and how unstoppable he has to be. Because a lot of times when he's out there in the midst of the fire burning, you know, they have their crew and everybody's spread out. They're not like two or three in one spot. Sometimes they may be a half a mile away from each other, and they have to stay focused. They have to be relentless in putting that fire out because of the fact that their lives and other people's lives depend on it. And which brings us to the topic tonight about being resilient, being unstoppable. We're faced with so many things in life that will cause us to fold up and buckle. We look at the news and we see what's going on in our economy. We see what's going on international, and we're fearful that it will come here to the U.S. And, you know, we just don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't even know what today is going to bring because things are constantly changing. And then we turn on the television. If it's not the news, it's reality television. People are so reality-driven till they can't stay focused and align with the assignment that God has for their life. They're deviating from their purpose. And that's what we want to talk tonight about, being in alignment with your purpose, being resilient, which means no matter what attitude. I have a special guest, Carlos Villa, on the show tonight. And, you know, he's a motivational speaker, and he was born out of the country, and he's had to overcome a lot of obstacles. Carlos, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Valerie, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here tonight with you guys.
Yes, Carlos is such a sweet young man. I tell you, I just love his spirit, and he's such a quiet, warm spirit. When you come around him, you just can't help but just hug on him. He's so sweet. And, Carlos, you're married, right?
Yes, I'm a newlywed, 8 months married.
Oh, when did you get married?
July of last year.
Okay, I got married August.
Okay, so we're newlywed.
So
we're
I'm newlywed right with you.
It's a great thing.
Well, Carlos, tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself. Give us a little more volume, please.
Okay, great. All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Hello, everyone. It is a pleasure and an honor to be invited by Dr. Barry to share my story. This phone call is a testimony that dreams are possible. No matter how big or unlikely your dreams seem like, this very phone call is actually a testimony that dreams are possible, that if you pursue your dreams, if you're tenacious, if you're resilient, you will make your dreams a reality. It's just a matter of time, but you have to be perseverant, you have to be resilient, you have to have an attitude of never giving up. Exactly a year ago, I was sleeping on the floor, watching videos on YouTube, and dreaming of meeting Les Brown, learning directly from him. And now I have the opportunity and the privilege to help other people around the world, to enrich their lives, to give them hope, to repay my mentor, and to help him grow his legacy. And today, I mean, I could honestly say from the bottom of my heart that I'm living my dream, but getting here wasn't easy. It took a lot of effort. It took a lot of energy. It took a lot of sacrifices. But most of all, for tonight's topic, it took being resilient, which is a quality that we need to develop on a daily basis. My journey here hasn't been easy. It has taken a long time, but you have to work in silence. You have to do the invisible work when nobody's paying attention to what you're doing. You have to work on yourself on a daily basis. So when that opportunity does present itself, you will be ready for it. What I can share with the audience is that a lot of people have had the same opportunities that I have now, and they have blown them because they just were not ready for it. So in my case, what I can share with you guys is that I've been preparing myself for many years, trying to get to this point, to get to where I am right now, to work with Mr. Brown, to work with hundreds of people around the world. And it is just a precious opportunity to be in alignment with your purpose, to be able to mm-hmm. have an impact on other people's lives.
Awesome. Where are you from originally?
I was born in Colombia. I came here when I was 16 years old.
Okay. And the transitioning there, from there to here in the U.S., what were some of the obstacles that you faced?
First and foremost, the culture is a culture shock. It's a different culture,
yes,
different mentality,
I imagine.
Different mindset. Yes. And then obviously the language. I mean, I still have an accent. That's pretty obvious. But, you know, when I first got here, I made it a purpose to learn English as quickly as possible. So I was very dedicated to doing that. And so that was one of the biggest obstacles as well.
You know, Shirley, and maybe you can expound a little bit on this, because I find that the individuals that come in here from other countries and stuff, they work a lot harder than those of us who were born here in the U.S. It's a land of opportunity for many. However, we don't take advantage as Americans. I don't think we take advantage of the opportunities that we've been afforded.
Yeah.
I think of the things.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, Carlos. One of the things is that as far as this is my perspective, I find that when someone comes from another country, is that they're very inquisitive, that they tend to really do a lot of researching, ask questions, read, and look for resources. And we have gotten comfortable, and that we don't, you know, expand on what's available to us. And it's almost like it's a networking. And when I see someone like Carlos from another country, they're friendly, they're open, they're inquisitive, they ask questions, they learn, they're eager to learn as much about the U.S. or American lifestyle as possible. Even though some people can be hypocritical and stereotype and say, but they don't want to learn our language, they don't want to do this, but they're hungry for knowledge. And by being so, it allows them the opportunity to tap into resources that we have taken, some of us, for granted. Some of us don't know because we don't ask. And some of us don't feel like we are capable to reaching out or using those resources that are available. There's a lot of resources that are available to everyone in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Even especially those that are born here, those that are, I said, lower income, the access to college, a lot of them, because the mindset is that I don't have any money, I can't go to college. There's resources available, too. There's schools that have, I mean, and then I, you know, some of the schools, especially the public schools, a lot of, used to have a counseling center. That has been taken, a lot of that has been taken out of a lot of the high schools and things in the public school system. Counseling used to be available to teach and let the students know that these resources are available to you. But with the lack of that being there, you find that the parents are busy working one or two or three jobs or, you know, trying to figure out where their next meal is going to come from. They don't think beyond that day. They don't think about tomorrow. They don't think about the future of their children. They're so busy in survivor mode that they don't think beyond that. When you begin to think outside the box, as I call it, remove yourself and put the what if. What if I tried this? What if this was available? What if I checked and asked about this? And some people, well, I don't have a computer. You have a phone. If you have a phone, it's a handheld computer. And as I tell everyone, Google is my best friend. You can ask Google anything, and resources will pop up, and you can check into them, but it's going to take you taking that step and not being afraid to ask. And, Carlos, what I'm hearing from you, you had a dream. You had a passion for your dream. And you didn't give up on that. You knew that it was in you for a reason to have that dream and to hold on to it with so much passion. And I heard you when you say, I slept on the floor, but my ultimate goal was to reach him. I watched his videos, and they motivated you. Now, I have a question for you. You came here at 16. How did you hear about Mr. Brown? What led you to him?
I've been into personal development since I was 12 years old. Actually, at 12 years old was the first time I read the book Think and Grow Rich, and from that moment on, it changed my life. So I come from a country where we have a poverty mindset. It's not that the country is poor, it's just the mindset of the people is in poverty. So from a very, very early on age, I realized I needed to change my mindset because I couldn't continue to live the reality that the people around me were living. And when I came to this country, I came with such hunger for knowledge and for wisdom and for opportunities that I immediately seized every opportunity I got. You know, from the moment I got enrolled into high school here, I took advantage of every course, every after-school activity that was available to me. In fact, my first job was as an EMT, which was an after-school activity that was presented to me. And to me, it was unbelievable to see how many people were wasting all the opportunities that are around them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me, it was at that time when that opportunity presented, it was an after-school program for people who wanted to be first responders. And then out of that group, they selected the best people to actually give them an opportunity to become EMTs and then actually to have a position to be paid for, you know. So once you finished the program, you actually had a paid job. And to me, that was surreal, you know, that they were actually willing to pay me to go to school to learn. And after that, I would have a job. So that was my first opportunity to work in the United States. And, you know, from the very first moment I got here, I was just looking for opportunities. And every opportunity that came my way, I was trying to seize that moment and take advantage of it.
Wonderful.
And
wow.
So when you went looking for... Go ahead, Shirley.
I'm sorry?
No, I was saying
I said, when
that
you were looking
point,
for
but...
a job... So you were willing to, even though you were reading personal development material and stuff, but you took whatever job you can find to gain the finances until you were able to excel to do that which you wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, the story of actually, how I actually came about meeting Mr. Brown, since I was a seminar junkie, and I used to go to every seminar there was, and I used to watch all different kind of videos on YouTube on personal development. It came to a point in my life that I was living in New Jersey at the time. I was living in Atlantic City. And at that point in my life, I was pretty good financially. I had a house. I had a car. I had a good job.
Wow.
At that time, I was already working in healthcare, and I was making a good living. I was making decent money, but there was something missing in my life. You know, I guess it was my wife. Now that I'm married, I feel a lot better. I feel more complete. So there's something
Aww.
About love that just makes a man whole. But yeah.
Oh,
my
that's
life
another
in New
show.
Jersey,
but oh.
My life in Jersey, even though I financially was stable and I had everything that everybody's looking to achieve, I wasn't feeling complete. So I decided to reinvent my life. I decided to recreate my whole existence. And I literally sold everything I have and I left everything I had in New Jersey behind me. And I decided to come to Florida to create a new life and to create a new future. And in that process, that's when Mr. Brown was very crucial, because in that process, the last 2 years, that's when I relocated, is when I was listening to him the most on a daily basis. And exactly a year ago was when I was still sleeping on the floor, you know, couch surfing, going from house to house, from different friends, different relatives, looking for a steady job, something that, you know, would fulfill me, that I made a prayer, you know, that I wanted to meet Mr. Brown, that I wanted to be mentored by him, and I wanted to have the privilege and honor to meet him, you know, while he was here. You know, very few people will have that opportunity to actually be able to shake his hand and learn so much wisdom that he has to share with us. So that was actually a prayer that I made, and I remember I had a tear rolling down my eye while I was making that prayer. But at that moment, you know, after I made that prayer, I wasn't thinking much of it anymore. You know, I kept going about my day, you know, trying to find stability again. And 3 months later, that's when that prayer was answered. There was an event here in Fort Lauderdale, actually Cooper City. And that's when I had the opportunity. I had an invitation to attend a live event. And that's when I first had the opportunity to meet Mr. Brown face-to-face, which, you know, to this day, I remember, you know, it brings me, goosebumps just to think about it. The first time I saw him, you know, 20 feet away from me.
Wow.
Wow, that is awesome. So you transitioned from up north in Jersey, moved down here. You had a goal that you wanted to meet Les Brown, and you were able to accomplish mm-hmm. that. So where did the wife come in?
I'm sorry?
Where did your wife fit into this? How did you meet her?
Actually, part of me was telling me that I was going to meet my wife here in Florida. And I had friends that were living here, and they told me, hey, Carlos, if you haven't met your wife in New Jersey, what makes you think you're going to meet your wife in Florida? Women here are a lot crazier. They're a lot wilder. All they think about is partying. So, but it was something in my heart that told me, hey, things are not working out here in Jersey. Something was leading me to come to Florida, and it's that's exactly what something that I do want to share with the audience. There are moments in life that are very crucial that don't make sense, but something speaks to you. Something speaks to your heart, and it doesn't make logic. It doesn't make sense, but something in your heart tells you, hey, something has to change, and you have to follow your dream. So at that point in my life, you know, I had every comfort financially, and I was willing to let go of all of those comforts in order to explore something new, something unknown, because I was looking for something greater. And that something greater was, you know, the new life that I have created so far. And so that's something I do want to leave the audience with tonight. There are going to be moments in your life in which, you know, your heart will speak to you, and it's going to go against everything that seems logical. But if you quiet your mind and you just listen to that voice in your heart, you know, and just act on faith, you know, the path will show itself. You know, in my case, it took me 2 years. I had no reason, no evidence that I was going to be able to meet Mr. Brown. I had no evidence at all that was going to happen. But I was taking one step at a time, one day at a time, and one action led me to another. And eventually, the universe conspires to allow you to have the opportunity that you're looking for. But you have to be resilient. You have to move forward and keep pushing.
Well, one way I always communicate to the audience, I tell them that when you're in alignment with the assignment that God has on your life, then you won't have to do a lot of searching or looking for anything. The world will beg for what you have, so everything will come to you because of the fact that you have what is right now, what is needed at mm-hmm. that particular moment. So everything is going to come into fruition, and you will be aligned with that because it's part of your purpose. It's part of your destiny. And that's what a lot of individuals aren't willing to do. They're not willing to yield themselves so that, like you say, the universe is, I call it a God moment,
mm-hmm.
that it
yes.
can be lined up with the assignment God has for your life. It is an awesome experience, and I know there are other individuals that are listening in. You can press 1 on your phone, and I can cue you into this radio show, but there is a lot. There are a lot of individuals I know that have gone through obstacles as you have, Carlos, and persevered, was relentless, unstoppable, and refused to be moved regardless of what life was dishing out at that time. You was like, I'm moving forward. I know what I want, and you fought for that goal. I think this dispensation we're in right now, Shirley, a lot of people just don't want to fight. They just like want to give up and be like, okay, let's see what happens. And if they can attach themselves to somebody like Carlos that's going somewhere, they'll either pull them down or be dragged and go along with them. So we got to make sure that as we're pressing forward and being resilient in those dreams, you know, resilient means, you know, trying to find a way to make it happen, regardless of the odds, finding that connection, finding materials to empower yourself. That's what being resilient is, not looking at what you have, but looking and searching those things that you don't and applying them to your life so that you can move forward to that next level of greatness, because we're all called. We just have to choose it, and I'm so glad that you chose it, Carlos. I am so glad that, you know, you decided that, you know, I'm just going to press. I don't care what people are saying. Even when it came to your wife, they said, okay, you didn't meet one in Jersey. What makes you think you're going to meet one here? Had you listened to those voices? Had you listened to those voices and not been resilient and saying, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and everything you put your hand to do, it was moving up, not moving down, and that's why you were blessed. Because you were on assignment. So, I mean, I applaud you, and I'm so glad that, you know, you found that person that can fulfill your life. That was so sweet how you put that. It's so eloquent. I love to hear a man praise his queen.
Thank you, thank you.
Yes. And one thing I want to say to you, Carlos, is that when you talk about stand on the course and stand focused, regardless of what it sounds like, what it looks like, and what others are saying. You stayed focused. And that's one of the things I was speaking on when I said that you were hungry for knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You had a dream. You had passion. And so no matter what someone said to you, you were unstoppable. And it really fits the topic when odds are against you, because the odds were really against you, being that you were not born in this country and you didn't come here as an infant. You came here as a teenager. The odds were against you for surviving past 25. First of all, let's get that out. The odds were against you. And not to mention that coming here at the age of 16, a whole new country, and I heard you when you said culture shock. Being that you was in culture shock, you have to break all those barriers. The culture shock, new country, family and friends here that you did meet was trying to discourage you not to follow your dream and your passion. You wanted it so bad that you relocated because you needed to find a common ground area so you could breathe and continue your quest to fulfill your dreams. That speaks power to word when you put action behind the words that you had. When you put that action behind that, that could motivate so many other people to see that the odds were really stacked against him. And he took those odds and turned them into something positive in his life. And it only made you stronger and better. And now you can stand tall and say, I defeated the odds.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I defeated.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I commend you for that. And I think you are a good role model for a lot of people. And there's a lot of people just not from other countries, but that are here struggling for that dream and to hold on to their dream, because so many people let go of their dreams when things get tough.
Actually, I speak to hundreds of people here in the country, in the United States, every week, you know, working at the Les Brown Institute. I get to speak to hundreds of people on a weekly basis that they say they have a dream. And it's heartbreaking to speak to hundreds of people that are stating they have a dream, But at the same time, when you speak to them, you realize they have given up, that they wanted to be easy, and it's not going to be easy. And I share my story with them. And going back to the beginning of the call, unfortunately, most people outside the country are the ones that value the opportunity that is being presented to them through the Institute at this moment. They value it more than people that are native born. I had the opportunity to make an impact on people from India, from Germany, from South Africa. And these people love Les Brown. They love everything that he has to say. And these people, just the mere fact that we're calling them, they feel honored just to be receiving a phone call from us. And on the same side, you make a phone call to somebody here in California or somewhere else in the United States, and they just take it for granted. They don't realize what a life-changing opportunity we're giving them to live their dreams. They have become cynical, and they just are not willing to do what it takes.
Well, that's why I said I don't think that Americans value the opportunities that we do have here in the United States. You know, you have more people that are unemployed and, you know, on drugs or in gangs. I mean, it is just really, I think, and even from our culture, I think Dr. King is tossing around in his grave, but at the way he marched for us to be able to vote, and we don't take advantage of the opportunity to vote. You know, they march so we can be able to work on different jobs and be in corporate America, and it is just a tragedy that we don't embrace personal development to the point where we actually utilize it to benefit us and take us to the next level. We're looking at those that have and marvel, like I said, we're looking at reality TV instead of creating our own reality. And that's heartbreaking.
Yes.
That is absolutely heartbreaking. I'm going to pull
one of the,
in... Go ahead, Shirley.
I think one of the things is that with, and I want to say we as people in America, is that there has been so much culture conditioning that some people don't feel that there's a way out of their situation. They have given up. And I don't think they've taken it for granted. I think it's more of, I don't know, I don't care, or why should I? What is it going to do? I think that's more of the attitude. Why should I care? It's not going to change anything. They've lost hope. And they've lost hope because when you really take a look at when someone becomes a product of their environment, when you really look at the whole bigger picture, and I look at it from a perspective of, you're living in poverty. We have a government that feels like if they give you a hand up, that you're going to continue to need it. Everyone that needs a hand up don't stay and want to stay in their same condition and place that they're at. Fundings were taken away from a lot of the lower income areas in our country. And a lot of people are not aware of the funding that was stripped from a lot of areas. And in those areas, they became more poverty-stricken than any other area. The school system went down. You even look at the hospital care and the education. It's like there's not enough people that care about how much they educate the younger generation so they can be productive citizens in there. They became more of like a prison, from school to prison pipeline. If you look at it, more and more of our young people are going to prison, men and women. They're not trying to rehabilitate them in there. They let them out, and they go. It's a vicious circle. They continue to do what they were doing before they came in there because they come out. They can't get a job. They can't get student loans because now they have a record. They don't get, they can't get the Pell Grant. You can't get a student loan because you don't have a job. You can't get the Pell Grant because you have a record. So it becomes a vicious circle. And it's a lot of it is about their environment and being culturally conditioned to think that this is the best I can do is hustle in the street. Why should I care about a Les Brown or anyone else? What is it going to get me? Nobody's going to believe it. Not realizing that they have a story to tell. No one has never lifted them up. They've always held them at a lower standard. It's like that crab mentality. Who do you think you are that you can get out of the hood and I can't? So, Carlos, you experienced some of it. When people start saying to you, what makes you think you can come here and find a wife when you didn't find one there? Negative words stick and last more than 100 positive words. But you were able to push that aside and hold on to your dream and stay focused. Some people are not culturally conditioned enough. You started at 12 in your country. People that are born here and born into the condition that they're living in can't see beyond that because they've never seen beyond that. You came from your country here and you saw a whole new world. A whole new world.
Well, Shirley, yes, I think it's all about choices. I think it's all about choices.
It's more than choice. It's more than choice.
I think, well,
if you don't know, you have another choice. But you would need to know that you have another choice and have seen it. A lot of people react to different things of what they've seen. A lot of people react to things that they've heard. And a lot of people react to things that they've experienced. Yes, you have a choice once those things are laid out there to you. But if they're not laid out there to you, do you know you have that option? I've worked with a lot of young people who wasn't even aware that they could even apply for college because they feel like my mom don't work. She's on welfare. She's getting aid from the county. So how am I going to go to school? And I explained to them and showed them and gave them paperwork. This is what you need to do. And I know several young people that I've helped like that. They never had a dream that they thought they could go to college and do more than what they was used to in their environment. So how do we
reach them? I understand and hear what you're saying, Shirley, but, you know, it's not that case that it's not like that for everybody. And, yes, choice is a great factor. Because even if you're in poverty, Shirley, there's something about individuals that even though they're in difficult situations and circumstances, they want to fight their way out. I mean, given my life and my conditions I was raised in, even when I was living in the South, none of my family knew anything about personal. I didn't even know anything about personal development until I found myself homeless and in the streets. I didn't know nothing about personal development, but I was resilient because I know I didn't want to stay out on the streets. So I found a way to get out of that situation. You're always your greatest asset, but what is it that you have in your hand? What is it that you've seen or taught? You know, like you said, Shirley, people can Google things on the internet now. Instead, we got kids with cell phones that can Google everything else. They looking at Beyonce. They looking at Janet Jackson. They looking at people playing ball, and that's the life they want to live but don't want to put in the work. So it's about choosing to be great. Like I said, greatness is a choice. You got to choose it. And then, yes, there are situations where individuals don't know what to choose because they've never experienced it and never seen it. But I'm saying that more than not, people here in the U.S. are blessed far beyond measure. Caller 7729, you're live.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And Carlos, certainly we do applaud you just listening to your story and listening to the journey. It is an encouragement, and it is something as a young person probably even to be magnified where others can hear it. And with the discussion that you ladies were just having, you know, I've been listening and so in agreement with so much on both sides, and having experience as well as seen a lot, even as a pastor, I've seen where I can understand Shirley and talking about some of the things that some of the people have not been able to know about and so didn't take advantage of some things that are here. But I am also of the mind with Dr. Val as well, and seeing that we here in America have so much available that it has come to the place, not for all, but for many, that have gotten to the place where we have just gotten so complacent and have gotten so used to things that we're not taking advantage of what's available and not as hungry. One of the things that as I listened to Carlos and talking about many people who come from other countries, it seemed as though because they are coming from another country, coming into America, they are coming with what Mr. Les Brown says all the time about being hungry. They come here hungry, and they come with a different perspective because they're hungry. They come with the perspective of there is opportunity for me greater in America than where I am. And so when they come, they're not looking for just hanging out or just, you know, doing what many of our young people or even adults are doing, just getting by. But they're coming with the perspective that there is more available to me there. There are opportunities, and so they come looking for it. And many times I think with us here, we have gotten so complacent and so used to having things around that we don't always look with the same sight to what is available to us and to go after. Now, I do understand that there are a lot of young people who I have also seen within the school system that don't know a lot. There are a lot of young parents and young grandparents who haven't learned a lot, who haven't taught a lot. But as we say, there is so much available all around us that our young people, even at, I have a little 3-year-old grandson, and they can get on these phones. They know how to figure out how to work these things. They get on the YouTube, you know, all of these different things. They can learn all kinds of things. And with the reality shows, all these things out there. But that doesn't seem to be what interests them. It's the entertainment and all of the other things. So it is going to take a lot of work, and there is no one answer. But there is much work that needs to be done. So we do applaud Carlos and enjoying the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for chiming in. Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm just saying that we don't value the same things that we have, that the things that we have, where someone can come in and value and appreciate the things that are here. So that's the point I was trying to make as it relates to that. So thank you so much, Carlos, and Dr. Altarisa, for chiming in. I thank you, value your comment. And Shirley, you have an event coming up, don't you?
Yes, I do. On May 13th, I have my ninth Women of Vision luncheon. And this luncheon is where we honor cancer survivors through my organization, my foundation, Against All Odds, and this is our 18th year. So it's like our anniversary celebration as well as a celebration of the luncheon of honoring cancer survivors. It's going to be at the MSU Kellogg Center in the Big Ten Room. So this particular event is held every year there. We have a guest speakers. We have a silent auction, we have giveaways, we have vendors, and live jazz is played throughout the luncheon. So it's a good time for people to dress up, come out, wear their crowns and their hats, and honor the survivors. So it's going to be May 13th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the MSU Kellogg Center. So if you're not in the Michigan area, it's in East Lansing, or you have family here and post it on Facebook, you can go to my Facebook page, Shirley M. Carter, And I'm also on, I have my website, againstalloddsfoundation.com, and we're also on Facebook, Against All Odds. So, you know, check us out and share it with your family and friends in the area. Thank you.
Awesome. And Shirley, would you tell the audience how and why you put on this event every year?
Well, I put it on, I'm a two-time survivor myself, and that's how I started, founded Against All Odds back May 1999. And this event is done yearly to honor those survivors of cancer, because the organization is for breast cancer survivors and their family, particularly African-American women, but we've been inclusive to include all cancer survivors, whether you're black, white, purple, blue, or green. Cancer does not discriminate. And I started Against All Odds for African-American women because as a survivor myself, in 95 and 96, I did not find a lot of support or the type of support that I needed as far as not only just an emotional safe haven, but my children needed someone to talk to. So Against All Odds, not only do we work with the as advocacies for the survivors themselves, but their children and any family member that may need some understanding of what that person is going through. And we also provide not only that, we help, you know, with their some of their financial needs, such as if they need help with the cell phone bill, if they need help with groceries. And we also provide clothing for some of the women if they've got had a weight loss, a weight gain from the medication that they're taking, or just need a makeover, just to feel good. We do help provide clothing as well. So we are there to help the survivor and their family, as opposed to, I have nothing against research, but research has got a lot of money and they haven't found a cure. The survivors are still struggling, trying to deal with the fact that they have a diagnosis. And some of their basic daily needs are not being met. And so we're just there trying to fill the gap. So we do this not only to honor them, but doing our silent auction, whatever we can raise from that to help someone.
Awesome. Thank you. I applaud your work that you are doing in the community. And I know that any donation you want to send Shirley's way would be greatly appreciated, because people don't realize that when you do events and you do fundraisers for your cause, a lot of times there's no money made because of the fact that you have to put on the production. So a lot of the small nonprofits like what Shirley has and what I have, most of the times, 98% of the time, we pull the money
yes.
out of our pocket to take care of those needs of the people in the community. Mine is for domestic violence and children in single-parent homes. Most of the time when somebody calls me, my foundation sometimes can't carry the weight of it all because there's so many people that are struggling going through financially with domestic violence, and they can't take care of the simple needs for their children. That's why I do back to school and toy drives, and when individuals need to exert that situation and get away in a hotel. So most of the time it comes out of my pocket because the foundation isn't strong enough, because a lot of individuals, they will give to bigger foundations like United Way and Blue Cross, Red Cross and stuff, and those organizations are good in their own right. But when you have grassroots nonprofit organizations that are right there in your community, you know, buy a ticket. Even if you can't go, buy a ticket to support, to help undergird the expense of the event that's going on, because it costs money. So I appreciate you for doing it for the 9 years and celebrating those individuals that have survived cancer. You know, a lot of times, Shirley, people don't want to get involved unless they know somebody personally. Well, I don't think there's a home in America, family, that has not been affected by cancer or domestic violence or some type of illness, you know, diabetes. There's so many different causes that need the attention of us that are tuned into this radio show every week. You know, Shirley gave her website. Shirley, give the information where they can give donations. And, you know, you'll follow my show every week. Go to the website from thesoulofawoman.com and you can purchase a book or just give a donation to the foundation so that I can keep doing what I'm doing, reaching hearts and empowering lives, because that's what it's all about. So, Shirley, give that information again, please.
They can go to againstalloddsfoundation.com and they can donate from there. And they can also donate from our Facebook page. And or they can send a donation. They can go to my website, ShirleyMCarter.com. So there's, you know, you have several avenues to do a donation, you know, and any and all donation is appreciated. And we are a 501c3, and it is tax deductible. So all donations are appreciated. And you can even go to Eventbrite.com and the Ninth Women of Vision Luncheon. You can put that in, and it will come up, and there's a donation tab on there as well. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And, Shirley, I have an event that's coming up June 24th. It is from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., How to Tell Your Story. It's a one-day intensive with Les Brown, Ona Brown, and we have special guests, Mr. Lawrence Taylor and Randall Hill, who we've been working with at the Les Brown Institute, and we've trained them, coached them how to tell their story. So they're going to be sharing that on June 24th. And you can go to eventsbyarise.com. That's eventsbyarise.com and register for that event. We have an early registration fee of $9.97, which is half price right now. So you want to take advantage of that before the seats are limited. So I appreciate you, Carlos, for tuning in and joining us on Hot Topics from the Soul, because this is what it's all about. It's about reaching hearts and empowering and inspiring lives. I'm so glad that you were hungry when you came here to the U.S. and you were relentless and unstoppable, and you refused to be moved because you wanted more. You knew there was more inside of you. And those of you that are listening in and tuning into this show, you know that's what it's all about, you know, connecting the dots of people to encourage you to live your dreams. As Les Brown says, you can live your dreams to the fullest, but it's up to you. It says you can live your dreams.
Yes.
That means that's an action word. That means you got to do something about it. You got to apply yourself. You just can't sit back and say, oh, wow, that, you know, when people are watching reality TV, they see all that drama up on there. You can't have all that toxicity flowing through your veins when you're trying to get to the next level. You want people that have been there and that are already up there, so you study those individuals and how they got to that level so that you can get there. You don't want to sit there watching people fighting on TV, because what happens then? Then you'll wind up fighting people in reality. No, you want people that are living their dreams, that are vacationing, that are seeing the world, that are empowering people. And I tell you, the rewards are so great when you apply yourself, because our lives are never about ourselves. Our lives are always about what we can do for somebody else. From the beginning of time, that's how God created us. He empowered us to pull somebody along to help them walk in the purpose that he assigned for their life. Iron always sharpens iron, and I'm so glad that I make it a point to surround myself with people of greatness, people of power. And that's why, Shirley, you're my co-host, because you wouldn't be here on my show if you weren't up to par. And I appreciate you.
You know,
and
we sharpen
so
each other on
and
off.
Thank you for the work you're doing.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you, and thank you for your work, you know, because it is so needed. You know, God blessed us both with the ability to reach so many lives, and our life experience
was a purpose. We lived it with a purpose, and we lived through it. So, and I thank God that we're able to connect on the level we are on and to share with others to bring them through. So I appreciate you too.
That's right. How to be resilient. This is what the show was about. Mm-hmm. Carlo shared with you some information about how he pressed his way. And, of course, we share every week on the show different ways that you can be resilient. That means applying yourself beyond your natural capacity, going beyond that veil, just saying, I want more, I want more. Having that hunger and that thirst, I want more, I want more. If you keep that hunger, you will get more. And you will do far more than you ever imagined. And the greater reward is knowing that somebody was blessed because you were in position, you were in place, you were on purpose, walking in your purpose. So that's a wonderful, magnificent thing. Carlos, you have any closing remarks for us today?
Yes, Dr. Valerie, thank you once again. Charlie, it was truly a pleasure to be part of this phone call tonight. I greatly appreciate the opportunity. And the only thing I would love to say to the audience once again, and I'm sure most of you have already heard this before, you have to burn your bridges. You have to burn your bridges in order to have that mindset to be relentless, to be resilient. Unless you are willing to burn your bridges, you won't have that commitment required in order to move forward. But other than that, once again, thank you so much for this opportunity. It was a pleasure to be part of this phone call with you guys.
Okay, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you real soon. And those of you that are tuning in, I want you to join me next Tuesday for another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm here because you're here. And remember, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're more powerful beyond measure. Marianne Williamson wrote that. So when you start Googling and seeing what people are doing on TV and how this one got that one's wife and that one husband, Google something that will empower and inspire you to walk in your purpose. Google something that will allow you to obtain the wealth that you so desire in life. You know, we always looking at somebody else's money. We can Google information to get our own money. So let's start applying ourselves today, and I promise you, you will be more powerful beyond measure. Thank you for tuning in to Hot Topics from the Soul. Look forward to you tuning in next week. And tell a friend, and if this show has been a blessing, go to the website, blogtalkradio.com/soul topics, and forward it to someone to empower them to walk in their purpose. Good night, and God bless.
Good night.
Good night.